My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast. Hello, welcome to the EDP Formula One podcast. With me, Michael Bailey, I'm joined by Richard Baxter. Good afternoon, Richard.
Afternoon.
All well?
Yeah, good, thank you. Enjoying the sunshine.
What a beautiful day. A beautiful day. Been a beautiful few days either side of the massive thunderstorms.
Yeah.
Some proper angry weather here in Norfolk. Welcome to the podcast. Now, this is going to be a little bit different. It's a sort of a mini podcast as we get to approaching the halfway stage of the season. Richard has kindly watched the race, so he knows what's happened. I'm a little bit in the dark over the race, so this could be quite entertaining. We're going to have a little chat about this race, a little look ahead to Hungary, and then what we'll do after Hungary, probably when we get into August, we'll do a proper roundup of the first half of the season. We'll get all the boys in and we'll see how the prediction leagues are going. Your bonus for coming in, Richard, is that you get to make a prediction for the Hungarian Grand Prix. I think you're the only one who's going to get to do it. So big chance for you.
Hope so.
Yeah, to grab. Okay, well, Germany anyway, I suppose you have to start with the winner. Nico Rosberg winning at home, which is, of course, what Lewis had done a couple of weeks ago as well. And, you know, you have to say, so far, this championship title race has been fascinating. Nico, do everything you expected of him at Germany?
Yeah, he did, to be honest. I mean, he started on pole and he won the race. And he wasn't really troubled for the majority of it, except from a little bit at the start where Bottas managed to stick with him. But I was pleased for him because it's always good to, especially, like, Rosberg, because he's quite a likeable character, but it's good to see someone win their home Grand Prix.
Always good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is always good. I suppose Lewis wasn't helped out in qualifying again by brake failure, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another dose of bad luck, really, for Lewis, isn't there? There's nothing, I presume, he could have done about it.
Well, no, he seemed to come into the corner. He went for the brakes, and the back end just went round because the front brake, you know, front right, I think it was, wouldn't stop. And it was a quite heavy impact into the barriers.
Yeah.
And of course, subsequently, they had to change gearbox, 5 place grid penalty. So he was down in the end to 20th, I believe it was.
Screwed.
So, yeah.
The man was screwed, which is a shame. And I suppose we kind of wondered whether Mercedes would lose some of their dominance that they've had recently because of the changes to the suspension. And they've had to drop this front and rear interconnected suspension system, or frick. What the frick was going on? Well, that was what was going on. But the way that Lewis did at least manage to cut through the field to third possibly should have been better as well. They probably haven't lost much of their edge, have they, through that?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you've got a really good package overall. If you take, you know, one small thing away, it's going to make a difference, but I don't, you know, I think it's not going to be as much as it otherwise would be. It was quite interesting, though, because I did hear that it was every single team, apart from one, who was running it.
Was that Caterham, then? Because I think they were the one that actually protested most vehemently.
And to me, you know, to be honest, it seemed to me that most of the teams it didn't make much difference to. And it was quite interesting why they decided to ban it in the end, when it appears to have made not much difference. So
they're in a bizarre situation, weren't they, I think, where they needed all the teams to agree to an amnesty to not protest against a rival between now and the end of the season. And because they couldn't agree to that unanimously, so I suppose it only takes one team. There was a threat of someone protesting. I suppose Caterham could have protested against everyone and then won the race, and then maybe they'd have finished 10th, which would have been remarkable scenes. Lewis seemed a little bit disappointed at the end of it, but should he be? Because it's a pretty good salvage operation, I suppose, to finish third.
Yeah, it was. It's like that sometimes. I mean, I was quite impressed after qualifying because even though obviously it was tough for him and it wasn't any mistake of his own, usually he'd be a bit down, but he seemed not too bad this time. So I was like, that's quite good. You know, he's obviously taken a different turn. Then after the race, he kind of went down a bit. And I was thinking, you just took like 17 positions. It's not every day that one driver does that.
And, he did sort of bounce off a few cars on the way as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. It was funny, my dad, he said to me, he's scything through the field like Schumacher used to do. And I said back to him, well, it looks like he's doing also what Schumacher used to do, and he's not afraid of a bit of contact. Because you know what Schumacher was like, you know.
That's too true. So. And he was bouncing off a few cars, really, wasn't he? Him and Jensen seemed to have a little bit of ruffled feathers afterwards. Nothing too bad, but...
No, I did see on, I think it was on the BBC website today, Button said he overreacted from the incident of Hamilton. But to be honest, it was a bit daft because Hamilton came from a real long way back and there was space, but then Button obviously was just taking a wider apex.
Well, yeah, he was just taking his line and Lewis just assumed, what I like is Lewis, I just assumed he was letting me through.
Yeah.
As if, why would he be racing against me? What are you talking about?
Well, that's it, you know, I suppose when you look back at Silverstone, Button came out and admitted himself, I'd like to see Hamilton win of any, you know, other driver apart from himself, basically.
He thought he was going to get a free pass for the rest of the season.
That's what it was.
He'd be so lucky. What should we talk about? Williams. Sounds like Red Bull are genuinely worried now about Williams in the Constructors' Championship. I mean, obviously, this is mostly Valtteri Bottas because Massa went out with another really horrible accident, has to be said.
Yeah, that's
no his... no one's fault. Just a nasty one.
I think that's his third big crash in four race weekends. Because he had, of course, the one in Canada, then there was one at Silverstone, which was in the practice. He got through Austria okay, which was fortunate for him.
Well, he only just missed Kimi at Silverstone as well in that race.
Yeah, it's true. And it's...
Crumbs. Well, as long as he stays safe. So no luck for Felipe, but Valtteri's driving so well, which is so good because I like him a lot and I'm really glad he's starting to show what he's got.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot, isn't he? He has got a lot.
Yeah, well, there is a saying about if you want to win, employ Finn. And to be honest, I think we could see...
But not Kimi.
I think we could see him win quite soon, you know. I think, I don't know about this season, because obviously Mercedes are that far ahead, but if there's a bit of bad luck for Mercedes like there was in Canada, then, you know, I think Bottas is the man there to step in and take the win.
And should Red Bull be worried about Williams in the Constructors' Championship? I mean, it strikes me at the moment that Williams have got one car coming home in a really good position and Red Bull are just about scraping two.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's, you know, it's all about consistency. And if Williams can get both cars on the points consistently, then they'll be in for a better shot, I think. But right now, I think Red Bull would probably be favourites to take second at the end of the season.
Okay, let's have some EDP F1 pit stops, very briefly. Here they are, the very brief EDP F1 pit stops, which is going to basically leave me to ask you, Richard, is there anyone else you want to bring up? who excelled? Who caught your eye?
Well, Bottas, for obvious reasons like we just talked about, he got second again. Hamilton as well, he came up from 20th all the way up to third. But just for leading throughout the whole race with no dramas, Rosberg, I thought was really impressive as well. So I think he'd have to be driver of the day for me.
Mm. Top stuff. How about team then? Team of the day? Or weekend? Or Mercedes again, probably?
Yeah, it's probably Mercedes. I was impressed with McLaren during qualifying. Then the start of the race, of course, Magnussen was involved with Massa. Button was up there to about 5th, 6th for a while, but then he dropped back in the end, so I was kind of debatable for them. But it's just Mercedes every time you look at it, really, just because it's the best car on the track, really. So.
And that leaves highlight. What I liked that I have seen is Lewis's little wave to Jensen as he did overtake him without bashing into the side of him, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, it's gentleman sport, and that's what you like to see. You know, he's obviously thought I've made a mistake there. And when I was watching at home, I said to my mum and dad, I said, if I was him, I'd drive past and just wave and apologise. And then replay comes up. Oh, yeah,
that's what he did. Good man.
That's it.
Okay, and how about further down the grid, away from the winners, the race winners? Who else did what? Because it was another pretty nasty weekend for Caterham, who presumably didn't have any frick to take off but didn't really look much cop again, although, you know, at least Kamui finished ahead of Max, I suppose.
Yeah, that, you know, they're finishing ahead of one Marussia, but the other one's still beating them. And if, you know, Marussia got points, they, you know, they're going for 10th, and that's obviously where Caterham want to be, so they need to pull something out of the bag really if they're going to get any chance.
Sauber aren't getting any better either. Adrian Sutil seemed to be doing donuts in the middle of the pit straight at one point. Should there have been a safety car, do you think?
personally, I think there should have been. I was watching, thinking, where's the safety car? Why isn't there one? And it was a dangerous position, because you think if one car's done it, another one can easily do exactly the same thing. And when I've been on video games, I'll admit I've done that several times. On the last corner of Hockenheim, you spin it round. But it was a funny one for me, because he spun it, and then he spun it round again the right way, and then stopped. And you think, did he stall it, or was there a problem with the engine or something?
Yeah.
That was a bit of a funny one. I was a bit confused about that.
Well, unless they, you know, as Lewis suggested, maybe it was just because he was German and it was his home race.
Yeah, maybe if all the German marshals thought, no safety cars, we've got to let Rosberg keep going ahead. He was the German winner.
Nasty Lewis, as it. Lewis, Lotus struggled again, and the suggestion is, I think, that their loss of Frick was possibly... They were one of the teams that really suffered with that, although they've been pretty terrible anyway. Yeah. Pastor Maldonado confirmed for next year already. That's what the money does for you.
Yeah, he's got his new contract. I was shocked by that.
Doesn't even matter what he does now.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, he's got his new contract, and I might be wrong, but I believe 12th is the best position he's got this year, and that was what he got here, so that's quite interesting. But Grosjean was higher up than that, I think. His car failed, and that's the reliability still. And this was a team who was winning races last year.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. I think they lost a lot. They lost a lot of people last year, and they haven't got a lot of money either, which never really helps. What else did I see? Daniel Kvyat, his car was on fire. That's always exciting. It seemed to take him a long time to get out of the car.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well. I think there was one of the rules is the driver has to be able to get out of the car within 4 seconds of it stopping in an emergency like that. And he just seemed to sit there and just take his time. And I thought, if I was in a car that was on fire, I'd be straight out. Before it even stopped, I'd probably be standing up and just ready to jump.
Get out. Now, did old Daniel Ricciardo finish ahead of Sebastian Vettel again?
No, he was sixth, and Vettel managed to get fourth.
Unbelievable. Is this the turning of the tide?
Well, what actually set it off was the Magnussen-Massa incident at the first corner. And Ricciardo just kind of was stuck there and had to run wide, by which case everyone pretty much overtook him. So
he had
a lot of ground to make up, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be changing too much.
It's a fascinating dynamic at Red Bull at the moment. It really is. Okay, then. As I said, it's a bit of a mini podcast. We're skipping through. We'll have a quick look ahead to the final Grand Prix of the first half of the season before the winter break, which is always fun. Hungary. Now, my memory serves, this is the one that looks like a camel. The circuit looks like a camel on a skateboard. That's my way of looking at it. What are you thinking, Rich? I have a feeling Lewis likes this track, doesn't he, a lot?
He does. He won here last year. That was his first race win for Mercedes last year. He has won in the past there before, I believe, 2009 with McLaren. They were really struggling. I think that was when he won the first race. And also there's been a lot of new drivers, you know, like win their first race there. So Jenson Button won his first race at Hungary, and there's been a few others. I can't really remember off the top of my head,
but you're doing very well, better than I would probably. It's a good track. I like it. I think it tends to provide pretty good races. It seems to be a nice way to sign things off. So I don't know how your predictions went on. You seem for Germany, you seemed a little bit down that maybe you didn't get many.
No, I don't think I got any, to be honest. I was a bit disappointed. I said, I think it was Vern to out-qualify and out-race Kvyat. He didn't out-qualify him, but he out-raced him only because Kvyat failed to finish.
Because his engine blew up, or his car blew up at least. Well, we'll bring you all the latest predictions and results after the next podcast, when we get round to August and our first half review. Anything you want to make prediction-wise? You are the sole predictor this weekend, Richard. That is exciting. Make the most of it.
Well, I mentioned about new people winning at Hungary, so I'm going to go on a bit of a gamble. I'm going to go out there and say Bottas to win. It could happen.
Wow. Kudos point as well.
Most likely won't if Mercedes are on form, but who knows, you know, if the heat gets up and then there's tyre wear and engine like failures like we saw in Austria, you don't know how it could be, but it's Formula 1. Anything can happen, as Murray Walker says.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, I like that. Valtteri to win.
And I think it's going to be the Mercedes of Hamilton and Rosberg to take second and third that way round. And I'm not going to touch Vern again, talk about Vern again, because he's let me down twice now. I say third time lucky, but I can't see. He seems to have struggled a bit. But I wouldn't be surprised. I'm also going to go out and say Kimi to finish ahead of Alonso. Hasn't happened a lot, but I'm going to go out and say that as well. Going to take a couple of gambles this week.
Brilliant. Well, you might as well, because they're free shots, to be honest. Free shots. Any more, or are you happy with that?
I'm happy with that. I can't think of any more off the top of my head, so...
Take it and run. Okay, well, thanks, Richard, for joining us. I know it was short and sharp. Appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. edp24.co.uk/F1 for the latest Formula One news, my weekly column, Lotus and Caterham Gubbins as well. There's quite a bit going on there, so check that out. And, of course, a link to this podcast, which is on iTunes. You can subscribe, download, and do all your normal gubbins. Just follow the links on our website. Or there's the Twitter at EDPF1, or me at Michael J. Bailey. And you are on Twitter, aren't you, Richard?
Yes, I am. It's at Bax_kid.
There we go. So get in touch with both of us, all of us. We should have a full panel back after Hungary. As I said, it'll probably be about a week after then. Some of us have got a holiday to take, and the football season hasn't started yet, so I have to squeeze it in. But yeah, there we go. Thanks for listening. Job done. And we will see you in the mid-season break. We've got quite a lot to digest by then. Bye for now.